afternoon, and welcome to another Sunday's programming. Not just another Sunday, a special Sunday's programming of Wellness Half Hour, Mother's Day. I'm sure many of you are already all in the festivities surrounding mothers, motherhood, their journey, and our tremendous appreciation of who they are, what they stand for, and the role they play in our lives. Wellness Half Hour, come to you every Sunday. You allow us into your space, into the privacy of your homes, your radios, your devices, and we'll talk about wellness, which is a perspective on our health that gives reverence to the source of our being. That means our health has a starting source, has a creative source, there's an energy, there's a God source of our wellness. He desires all his children to be well. He has built into this body, this temple, this system, several components that cause us to remain well. So when ailment comes up, when illness shows up, one must ponder, what have I been doing to drift or to divert or stray away from my gift of wellness? Thus we impart there are five pillars to wellness. Spirit, number one is spirituality, number two, mindset, number three, nutrition, number four, lifestyle, and number five, environment. And so we journeyed together and we learned a lot. This month we've talked about children, we've talked about wellness as a family together, and that's in spirit of Mother's Day being today. We'll talk about another area with children, a very particular area that we're seeing disturbingly, increasingly here in our milieu. An element we consider one of those elements of Western civilization is amongst us all again. And to discuss it, we have our pediatric nutritionist in the person of Miss Ayo Ogunde. Good afternoon, Ogunye. How are you, madam?
Fine, thank you. Thank you very much for that introduction.
Our topic today is autism, yeah. Spelled A-U-T-I-S-M. For some people, this is a totally new word, or they may have just heard it in passing and not really made any connections mentally or even physically to it. For others who know about it, it's a terrifying word. For some, they are living it every day. So let's break it down for those who are new to this concept. What exactly is autism?
So for everyone listening, autism is a group of neurodevelopment disorders that affects how the person communicates, learns, behaves, and socially interacts. Also, it affects the way they eat. So you can see that they have extreme food selectivity, and also they tend to have very narrow, unique interests.
Yeah, I've thrown out some big words out there. You said neuro something.
Neurodevelopment.
Neurodevelopment. Oh yeah, break that those words down. Neuro and development.
So neuro has to do with anything with regards to the brain. Mm. So they will have issues with their mental development.
Mental development, brain, nerves, senses.
Yes. Okay.
All right. And when does one get a signal that this child may have what are some of the features of autism that parents may have noticed or should look out for?
Okay, so some symptoms or some signs that you see in the child, it can start very early on, maybe from when a child is 2 or 3, from as early as that, but you see that they may not be able to interact with their peers properly, or they may fail to give, they may have social anxiety in different situations. Food selectivity is a very big one. This is one of the biggest telltale signs, and that is where they have very unique interest in food. It could be just the color that is appealing to them, or the texture of the food. They can only eat food of this texture or of this color. And also you have them having a narrow interest in something, and it could range from anything, from music to things that have to do with their hands, anything really. They will just stick to that one interest.
Neuro developmental disorder, which signs could range from sudden change in their interactivity, in their language skills, in their walking, talking, listening skills, attention skills, and that transition often triggers the parent to wonder, is it just this child is slowing down, or do I need to seek professional guidance? With children, we don't take chances. You see something that is off track, that is different, that's unusual, connect with your pediatrician immediately. Go talk to that doctor who specializes in children. And if not, if you get a good answer, fine. If you're not satisfied, have them refer you their pediatricians who specialize in many of these developmental arenas. Today, we'll exploit from a nutritional perspective. Hence, we have a pediatric nutritionist in the house with us. She's touched on a few areas already of food selectivity, but let's step back a little bit in terms of underlying cause or things that may trigger autism. How does nutrition play into this? Does it play into it?
So nutrition does play a very big role into it. In fact, later on we will discuss on the types of food you can help with your autistic child. But the underlying cause of autism, as with every other disease that we see nowadays, is from the gut. The gut ranging from your mouth to the other end. And what we are focusing on, not just on the organs of the gut, but the microbes that live there. From your mouth down to the colon to your end, you have more bacteria cells. Sorry, you have more microbes than you have human cells in your body, showing you that we need to pay attention to this large organ that controls so many other things within our body.
So there's folks probably saying, we're hearing this word again. Gut health. We're hearing this word again, microbe. And these folks are saying, again, all these big words, what is gut health, what is microbe? And you've broken it down that it's everything from the mouth to the colon to the other end. Mm-hmm. And you're saying that we have more little buggers inside there than we have human cells. And you're saying there's a link between this neurodevelopmental disorder we call autism and this stomach, and this gut here. What it, but there are two. One is south, one is north. What is the connection?
Well, the connection has to do with, firstly, the microbes inside your gut. What they are there for is to help digest food, one, to help with your immune function, two, and to prevent toxins from entering into your blood vessels. So how this affects your brain is where there's a situation called leaky gut. Leaky guts meaning that there's space, so where your food is supposed to be digested and absorbed, there's spaces in between them, in between those cells. And unfortunately, because of those spaces, you get undigested food passing out through the toxins. You also even have overgrowth of bad bacteria. Those overgrowth of bad bacteria producing their own toxins as well flood your body with things that should not be there in the first place, and then that's how it begins to affect all parts of your body, including your brain.
Hope you're listening very carefully, because she's pointing to a massive area that's exploding in the medical field, especially in the area of functional medicine, wellness medicine, and integrative medicine. There are no of how your gut is linked to chronic medical conditions, especially from childhood. The decisions we make during conception, during pregnancy, during lactation, during early childhood development, nutritionally, and how they could play in our favor or in our disfavor and factor into ailments such as autism. Now, some of you who are experts will be saying, but autism, there's a spectrum. We'll leave that dialogue for the medical doctors, pediatricians to discuss that in detail. Today we're focusing more on the aspect of nutrition, and the aspect we know it plays in developmental disorders, in particular the ones that have to do with the brain, nerve, and sensory organ development. You mentioned this big word, leaky gut, and you kind of broke it in down small. The things that shouldn't be crossing over from the gut into our bloodstream and into the bodies tend to occur. Are we born with leaky guts, or does that occur over time? Are we born with leaky guts?
So leaky gut is not normal. It's not something you should have. That is where the origin, that is a manifestation of gut dysbiosis. And with leaky gut, what prevents it is having a good supply of beneficial bacteria. Your beneficial bacteria outcompeting pathogenic bacteria in your gut. So when you have a healthy dose of beneficial bacteria, you're going to have your gut integrity is going to be high, and therefore you're not going to have passage of toxins from your gut into your bloodstream.
We're learning a lot too. She's mentioned bacteria several times, and many of us think bacteria generally are bad boys and bad girls that should be nuked or destroyed with antibiotics. But she's clearly stating that we have beneficial bacteria, billions of them, if not trillions, that work in our favor. And often where there's dysfunction amongst them, where they don't work properly, and she used the term gut dysbiosis, our body is prone to certain ailments. Now, we're born with very tight junctions in the gut that prevent things that are totally undigested from crossing over. To cross over, you have to be very well digested, packaged in a particular way, which the healthy bacteria in our gut, amongst others, help us to do, and then move it from the gut into the bloodstream for us to, you know, absorb and assimilate and live healthy, wellness lives. So, child is born with this. Tight gut junctions. Over time, something occurs that causes these junctions to open up and begin to leak a little bit. Could that cause be linked to nutrition early in the child's life, or does it occur later on?
So it could be both. So depending on the factors that came into play on how the child was born, and also the kind of diet the child has going on in life. So the child could have been born with a compromised gut flora from just the different ways of being born, and then they go on living their lives not knowing that this is the issue and not taking the right steps to correct it, and therefore issues worsening and having things like autism manifest within the child in the course of their lives.
So getting wisdom from expert nutritionists, especially in that childbearing stage, so that you're putting the right things, getting in early with your gynecologist so that you're prepared physically, mentally, emotionally for that journey, as well as the tools and the skills for a healthy, natural childbirth. I sort of touched on this. The more natural the childbirth is, the lower the incidence or risk of ailments such as autism. She talked about the gut flora. The flora of the child is heavily tied to the flora of the mom. The flora meaning the variety of bacteria, viruses, fungi, and other microorganisms, small organisms that mother actually bequeaths or passes on to the child when the child comes through the natural vaginal canal delivery. So that's one area where put the children at risk when they don't come through that pathway. She's mentioned other things. What we feed the children early on. Of course, you know, here at Wellness Half Hour, here on Family Radio, we want to do things the way God has created it. So lactation, natural lactation, breastfeeding the child is the ultimate. If we start to give the child things that are maybe not so natural too early, it can factor into this gut scenario we call leaky gut. As they get older, the things we give them, that may also be a factor. Are the chemicals, whether it's from antibiotics, whether it's from medications, whether it's from supplements, and whether it's from different chemicals in the foods, can also undo these tight gut junctions, opening the gut, putting the child at risk for ailments, including autism. All right, tell us more about autism.
Well, as doctor has so well pointed out, that everything has starts from before birth to after birth and continuing within your life. So it's very important that you speak to your nutritionist and you speak to your pediatrician so that you're well armed with the right knowledge of making sure that your gut health is up to standard. Now, in autism, what we have mentioned is that there is a severe imbalance of this gut, of this, our gut health, of sorry, of the bacteria within our gut. And it's very important that in order to one, either prevent it, or two, reverse the autism through nutrition, that is important that you take certain steps within your eating habits and even some of your lifestyle habits as well with regards to your children. Now, there is a very unique diet called GAPS. It's called the Gut and Psychology Syndrome Diet. This is a diet that has been used, or rather was coined by Dr. Natasha Campbell-McBride in the UK after seeing hundreds of children coming with different issues, not only autism, but neurological issues and digestive issues as well, a host of different. And she has employed using this diet to help her patients and her clients over time. But also, it's very important that you speak to your nutritionist concerning this diet, because it's not one you can just administer yourself. And also, the recommendations that we will give up later, even though they are recommendations, they are general, and therefore they need to be administered to you through your nutritionist.
So there are different medical pediatric nutritional approaches to assisting a family that may have a child with autism. I had mentioned one of the approaches through Natasha McBride. There are other approaches, several others out there. But one thing they seem to have in common now is this gut health improvement, understanding the link between what you're feeding, what you have been feeding, the health of the gut today, and what's happening in the brain development. When we think of the brain, not just the brain that's between the head, but everything that connects to the brain matters. The nerves that go into your fingers, and in your eyes, nerves that go to your nose, even the taste bud nerves, all these things are tied into the whole neurodevelopmental arena, learning capability. Now, let's talk a bit about the gut, the microbes a bit further. You mentioned there's beneficial microbes. Mm-hmm. Are there those that are not beneficial?
Yes, they're microbes that are not beneficial. But the thing is, your good bacteria, what they do within your gut is that they outcompete and make the environment hostile for them. So when you see things like yeast infections, botulism, and other clostridium illnesses from clostridium, that is when you see there's an imbalance. So what we are trying to do is always to make sure that our balance is okay. The beneficial is always out competing. So when you see people, even with stomach ulcers as well, even though stomach ulcers are caused by a bacteria called H. pylori. That is also as a result of an imbalance as well. Even depression, sometimes mood swings as well. Even issues with sleep can be linked to issues with your gut and an imbalance of it.
We're hearing this over and over, and linked to so many arenas, even sleep, depression, anxiety, learning, chronic diseases. I think we're going to pause for a brief break here. When we'll come back, we'll open the lines for questions, and we'll learn more about this gut health and some of the things we can start doing if you have a child with autism. Talking about autism, this is a challenge in children when it's usually already diagnosed, a neurodevelopmental disorder that science is heavily pointing to the health of the gut in childhood, and that tracks from the child being in utero to lactation to early nutritional interventions. So we'll open the lines if you have questions regarding autism, whether you have a child or a relative who has the ailment or not, or if you have questions about brain development that may be linked to nutrition. Our number here is 0700-923-923-923. Our guest is pediatric nutritionist Ayo Ogunye. Okay, Ayo, what are some of the things parents should be aware of or really look out for especially young parents or mothers now who are in the process of, you know, pregnancy, so as to reduce the chances of this ailment, autism, or other neurodevelopmental conditions occurring nutritionally?
Okay, so to prevent it, as we've been talking, so everything will always go back to the gut health. So if you're a mom expecting, what I will implore, you start taking things like fermented vegetables. Those are very important. They do help, they're a type of probiotic, and they help replenish your beneficial bacteria. They give you a good supply daily. It's important you also take natural plant-based supplements, foods like spirulina. Spirulina is very important. It helps with your gut health as well. Then it's very important you're taking, you're avoiding processed foods, anything that can feed your pathogenic bacteria. So your refined foods, your high sugar foods, the fizzy drinks, anything that can feed the bad bacteria in your gut, you have to avoid those as well. Very important that you're getting vitamin D, sunlight, and also your essential fatty acids from flaxseed, chai seeds, those sorts of sources.
You also get healthy essential fatty acids from nuts like cashew nuts.
Cashew nuts, yes.
You can get healthy groundnuts.
Walnuts as well.
Local walnuts. Mushrooms?
Mushrooms, yes. Mushrooms are very important part of your diet, should be. They help also regulate things within your gut.
Local seeds, sesame seeds?
Yes, sesame seeds.
Egusi unko.
Egusi
unko. So there's a wide variety of, even our local native corn, coconut, if native local palm oil, these have a lot of healthy fatty acids that are beneficial to mom, to developing baby, in so many ways. Are you as stressed? Minimizing the processed foods. What are processed foods?
So processed foods is a broad definition, but it is any food that has been handled from when it was, will I say, harvested, basically. So some things are minimally processed that are okay, like you washing your fruits and vegetables or cutting them up. That's a minimal form of processing. That's okay. But when we talk about processed foods, we're talking about things that no longer look like the original form of the food. So things that are like
some of our boxed cereals.
Yes, boxed cereals are there. Things like
baby formulas.
Yes, baby formulas. Your fizzy drinks. Things that you no longer know what source of food even came from. Those are the kind of things we are talking about when we say processed foods, and the ones that you should avoid.
Cakes, candies.
Yes.
So minimize them when you're pregnant.
Yes.
So in short, they're saying eat as natural and as close to the earth as possible when one is pregnant. What about, you mentioned supplements, you mentioned spirulina. Are there other herbs that one should also have abundantly when they are pregnant?
Well, you can have lemongrass. Lemongrass is another thing you should take while, because that is also known to help with your GI tract. Mushrooms as well. We grow local mushrooms here in Nigeria, oyster mushrooms. That is something that you should have as part of your diet.
Yeah, cassava, those regular carbs, those are good.
Yes, those are good.
You know that when they process wheat flour and put it inside that packaging. Okay, I think we have just 1 minute to go. Wow. All right. Okay, so we're talking about autism. We may have to continue this in the future, but you've given us a lot of information. Just give us one or two lines to wrap it up as we program.
As we've mentioned earlier, that autism is the disease. Autism manifests from the gut, so working to heal the gut is your first and best step to helping your child manage their own symptoms. So always take care of your gut health, and if you need more help, please call your nutritionist. They are more than happy to help you.
If you have any more questions, you can always send us messages on our Instagram, which is CaribHealthNG, or you want to reach me directly, Dr. Patrick Ejewere on Instagram too, at Dr. Patrick Ejewere, Ijewere. This is Wellness Half Hour. Have an awesome, blessed Mother's Day Sunday, and we'll see you next week. And I think next week we jump into the next month. Wow, May's here already. Have a blessed week.